chapter 6, verses 1 through to 21. It can be found on page 1079 of our Pew Bibles. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee. That is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take almost a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you could just close your eyes for a moment, because I'd like us to be able to imagine ourselves being one of those crowd on the hillside and to smell the sea and maybe hear those lovely seagulls circling around, thinking there might be some food here for us. Maybe smell the grass and the environment around, and just to see Jesus taking the bread in his hands, one of these little barley loaves, and as was his custom, but before he does anything else, just give thanks. And in another gospel, it says that he lifted his eyes to heaven and he raised up that bread and gave thanks and then broke it before giving it to the people. Let's just see Jesus giving thanks to God, raising his head back and blessing the Lord. "Blessed are you, Lord God of the universe." Thanking God and then breaking it and giving it. Lord, may we hold that picture in our minds, and that it may move from our minds to our hearts as we seek to become a community that is formed around that image, that picture. You, the God who forgives and the God who gives thanks. We ask it in your holy name. Amen. Jesus had been, over a number of days, teaching this crowd, asking them questions, listening to their questions, getting to know people, talking with the children and the women, as well as some of the men, different backgrounds. They were able to begin to form relationships with Jesus. And he'd been teaching them about the fact that the kingdom of God, what God is, what life is like when God's in charge, is seen in relationships. It's seen in loving one another. It's seen in loving God. It's about building community. That is what Jesus came to do. And at the end of the day, he'd had enough, and so he just sent the crowd away. Well, actually, he didn't send the crowd away. That's what the disciples wanted to do. But Jesus knew there was something more for them to discover, that more that God wanted them to enter into. And he said, no, you feed the crowd. And Peter, oh, we haven't got anything like what we need to feed this crowd. You know, all we've got is a little boy here, you know, with these 5 loaves and 2 fish and the barley loaves, and cheapest sort of loaves and sort of pickled fish. It was a bit like a sardine sarnie that was really on offer here. It was nothing special, and certainly not an abundance of food. But Jesus recognized that part of building community was about offering and giving and sharing what we have and placing it in Jesus' hands. He knew that food was essential for building community. It always has been and always will be. Now, I have to say, I've never ever before quoted a pussycat doll in my sermon. And I may never do that again. But as you will know, if you watched my Celebrity MasterChef this week, Kimberly Wyatt from Pussycat Dolls is now become the champion of MasterChef 2015. And she said, food is the foundation. It brings everyone together. Remember saying that? You saw food, I scribbled it down because that's a good quote. Food is the foundation. It brings everyone together. And so it does. We found that in our picnic on our family forest day, which you'll see a couple of pictures of here. Tremendous opportunity to get together around sharing food. And there's one particular picture I love coming up next of Matthew Rawling, and they're putting in food, wondering, what is this that I'm eating? And there's Faith, the star of the show today. And of course, we're having cake. What a way to celebrate Faith's Thanksgiving. Cake for everybody. Cake on birthdays is another great way, of course. We mark birthdays with candles. And, of course, at fellowship weekends, when the church goes away, many of the fellowship, we have great time over meals. And the times that you and I have shared with people that we want to get to know, that we've been able to have opportunities to eat, as Sean and I did just last night with some friends. It was just great to relax over food. And Messy Church, of course, is built around food. So is Alpha. It becomes something that is central, because for Jesus it was central for forming communities. But on this hillside there were 15,000 people and one problem: no food apart from 5 loaves and 2 fish. So here's the boy. The food is offered to Jesus. And he takes it, he receives it. And he places it in his hands, and what does he do? He takes what has been given, and he gives thanks to God. I wonder what he's giving thanks for. He's blessing God,
He's giving thanks just to say, God, you are great. I bless you. The traditional Jewish form of words include a blessing of God before the blessing of the food. But maybe he was also blessing God and giving thanks for these signs of community that were beginning to grow. The sharing, the generosity, the breaking down barriers across generations, across social divides. Maybe he was able to give thanks in that moment for the potential that he knew was there for these people to be given a glimpse of God and who he is and the greater hunger that God and God alone could satisfy that we will go on to discover in the weeks to come. That God alone can satisfy. Jesus already knew that. But he took the food and he gave thanks to God. He gave thanks to the God who knows what every person needs, their physical, emotional, social, and spiritual needs. He gave thanks to the God who alone can satisfy that need completely. And the image that we have of Jesus giving thanks, lifting up that bread and breaking it open, is an image that was to be seen again and again. And how significant it was that the word that is used for that Greek, for the Greek word that is used for the expression Jesus gave thanks, was eucharistesas. Eucharistesas. It is at the Eucharist, the great thanksgiving, that Jesus breaks that bread. It was, as John pointed out, the time of the Passover. John mentions that just because he thought might be able to say what time it was. I don't think so. There's all those implications of what Jesus is doing that is taken up. The time, the Last Supper that he has with his disciples, and says, Jesus took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. And so Christ Church, any church, that this church is a community with Christ at the center, and the empty cross, that sign of the crucified and risen Lord, is at the heart of it. It is the Jesus who is giving himself in love for us that we give thanks for every time we worship. And it's tremendous to be able to do that in so many ways. The experience journeys that Sean and Catherine Costa and others have written speak of that cross, celebrating and giving thanks to God for all that he's done for us. And Sean and Catherine have been writing a new resource for schools all over the country called Journey Through the Eucharist, Through the Thanksgiving, that involves children making crosses, little sticks that they make themselves, and about putting hearts together. These hearts come in envelopes, all broken up, and their task is to put them back together again. And we found it very difficult to do, didn't we, with one of them, because you can have them either side and they're all different shapes, and the children doing them realize that mending a broken heart is a very difficult thing indeed. But the experience of doing that as part of the Eucharist was a powerful one, and the cross would then be placed on the top of the heart as a sign that it's Jesus who mends broken hearts at the deepest possible level. Hearts restored. So Jesus is about building community through self-giving. But before he did that, he gave thanks, and he builds a community around thanksgiving. And that is at the heart of our church's life. It is perhaps, I would want to suggest, the most significant value that we have as a church that is given by Jesus. The value of thanksgiving. That God is about building communities that are learning to give thanks, learning to live that life that Jesus lives, giving thanks, blessing the Lord for all he is and all he has done. St. Paul writes in Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you wherever you are, whatever you do, in all circumstances, this is God's will. Give thanks. And there was a great example of that last week. Zach Johnson, who is this 39-year-old American who won the British Open Golf Championship. In his speech, he spoke of the peace that he felt as he played, and the courage to keep going, to keep determined. What he didn't say in that speech was that through the 5 days of that tournament, he kept reciting Psalm 27, verse 14. Be patient, wait for the Lord, be courageous and brave. Yes, be patient and wait for the Lord. That was his mantra as he went walking on that golf course. And out of that discipline of focusing on God's word, he was able to live thankfully and courageously. And in his speech, he did give thanks to his wife for her prayers. And she looks pretty chuffed with him. What a wonderful moment that was. So, Sean, I'm going to ask you to pray for me every time I play golf. And I might... a £1.5 million, I don't think I'm going to win that. But I might enjoy it a bit more. So giving thanks is mostly not a spontaneous reaction to something that's good that's happening. It is a habit that's learned through practice, just like playing golf well is. It's a choice that is made because we want to become more like Jesus, to live a Christ-like and Christ-shaped life. So let us today thank God, but by his Spirit, he is building us into a community that he loves, and that he loves when we give thanks to him for his goodness and generosity. May we be inspired by his Son, that before he did this with the food, he did that. That the whole movement of Jesus' life was first this, arms upward toward God, before he did then that outward to others. Let us echo that movement of up towards God, out towards others, as we seek to learn to live that life. And may we as a community echo the movement in the way we live, giving ourselves to God as we give thanks to him, our Saviour. Amen.